as we come at this time, to reflect upon not only the Word of God, but many ways by which it is distributed. We are privileged today to have coming to speak with us Jim Abrams. Jim is a retired educator, although we chatted before the service a little bit, and I said, does an educator really retire? I think probably not, and especially when he responded that no, his granddaughter that he's still helping to educate. And I understand that. He is a member of the Spartanburg West Camp of Gideon's. I know he was on the program, I believe, on Friday, because Robert Elrod mentioned that you were on the program. He had heard you but hadn't had a chance to speak with you yet. We did enjoy the evening Friday night. You all missed some good food. Sorry, but I ate mine. We do welcome him as he comes today to share about the Gideon's work. As you know, we have several Gideons in our church, but we each come with different perspectives based on our life experiences, based on our educations, based on the way we approach the biblical text. And so as he comes to share, we welcome him, and I ask you to not only be open to the things that he brings to share, but after the concluding hymn, we will sit back down and have a few moments while the ushers pass the offering plates for any who might feel led to contribute. And I don't think there are any children grades 3 and under for children's church. That's okay. I'll eat the chocolate chip cookies that were baked later. Jim, if you would come and share with us, please.
It would take an act of God to change you. That's what one young man's brother told him when he realized the changes that was occurring in his life. The young man was reared overseas in a country where drugs and other evils of the world were readily available to him. By the age of 24, he had accomplished everything he wished to do as a young man. While visiting in Germany and staying in a youth hostel there, he came across a little blue book. He picked it up and started reading it. It was a Gideon Testament. It had been placed there by the Gideons. When he left to go back home, he carried the book with him. After he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he decided to see if God really existed. And he said, God, I want to make changes in my life. I want you to send Jesus into my life to help me change. A short time later, he moved to the United States to live with his younger brother. After some time there, he noticed the changes that was occurring in his life. And not only did he notice the changes, but his younger brother noticed the changes also. Because he said one day, I don't know what there is about you, but something has changed. The young man told his brother how he had invited Jesus into his life and how he was delving in the Word and how he had been led to changes through Christ. The younger brother remarked, you know, I've never really believed in God, but there's got to be one, because it would take an act of God to change you. Today, that young man and his wife are working in a Christian ministry on a college campus dealing directly with students. And we thank God for salvations like that. Having Gideons in your church here this morning, you are familiar with the Gideon organization. Since 1899, we've had one purpose, and that is to spread the gospel around the world through Bible distributions and personal witnessing. Today, the Gideons exist in over 190 countries. We distribute scriptures in 93 different languages. We get to distribute the word in the main highways of life. We place Bibles in hotels and motels, hospitals, convalescent homes. We distribute testaments to students in schools, colleges, and universities. also to police, fire, and medical personnel. We also distribute the word of God to our men and women in the military. And as individual persons in the Gideon organization, we distribute the little testaments as we personally witness to try to win souls for Christ. My wife left me on Christmas morning, took her presents, and went away. Those were the words of Lowell Bud Paxton. Bud is the one that created the Home Shopping Network on TV. And what he seemed to be the pinnacle of his career, his wife told him on Christmas morning she was leaving him. Picked up her presents and left. A few days later, Bud was visiting in Las Vegas to celebrate New Year's. While there, he couldn't sleep. About 4 o'clock in the morning, he picked up the Bible that he found in the nightstand beside his bed, and he just flipped it open, started reading about the trials and tribulations and how God helped Job solve those situations. Sometime after reading about that, he flipped to the front, and they suggested readings, and he started reading about how to find peace with God. When he went back home, he realized that he needed to be active in a church. He accepted God as a young man, but he renewed that vow with God. Not only did he do that, but he felt like he needed to do something in his personal life and his business life to honor God. He didn't think he could do enough. He started PAX TV. That is TV that is Christian-oriented. Things that people, their whole entire family can sit down and watch. And we thank Bud for that type of TV. We need more of it. Bud says that, you know, he hated had to be at the bottom when he saw Christ. But he was glad God was there waiting on him when he needed him most. A couple said, you know, they would never put their son in a Christian hospital. Their son was very ill and getting sicker by the day. And they had been dealing with it for 2 years, over a two-year period. They had been to herbal doctors. They had been to the Western doctors. They had sought all kind of home remedies. But the son just kept getting worse. They heard about the Shangoa Christian Hospital in Taiwan. And they said, we'll never put our son in that hospital because of the term Christian. They were devout Buddhists and didn't want to have anything to do with Christians. But their son, finally, the sickness that he had, they said, we got to do something. So they carried him to the Christian hospital. After a diagnosis there, the doctors determined that he had an infection in his bone marrow. The surgeries that he had there were very successful, and the young boy started recuperating very rapidly. While he was in the hospital there, he picked up the testament that had been placed there by the Gideons, and he started reading it. He started asking questions of the personnel in the hospital. And before he left that hospital, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. His grandfather became very angry about that because of being a devout Buddhist. But he let the grandson's actions speak for themselves. And today, that entire family are Christians. And we thank God for those types of salvations. Gideons get to distribute testaments at colleges and universities. A young lady named Magala was a 17-year-old freshman at a university in Venezuela when she was given a testament. She started reading that testament. Her friends, Catholic friends, would tell her she shouldn't be reading that book. But Magala ignored them because she found it helpful in times of need, especially. At the age of 20, Magala joined a charismatic Catholic group, and she soon discovered her values were not being met. Her Christian values were, that she wanted were not being met. Her spiritual needs were not being met. Short time later, she was invited to go to an evangelical church. There she found the salvation that she'd been reading about in that little testament. She found a home there. She accepted Christ. Magala's mother would often tell her after she married that her troubles were because she had become a Christian. Magala ignored her mother and would pray for her mother to accept the Christ that she knew as her personal Savior. And thanks God that her mother did prior to being called home to heaven. Today, Magala and her husband and four children are all Christians. And Magala thanks God for every chance she gets to personally witness to another person. And she thanks God for that little testament that was given to her as a 17-year-old, because she credits all those salvations to that little testament. Last year, the Gideons had the privilege of distributing approximately 80 million Bibles around the world. Since 1908, we have distributed well over 1.5 billion Bibles. Why do we do it? Because God wants His Word spread. And He tells us that His Word will not return void. In Isaiah 55:11, He says, As my word go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in where I sent it. That's the reason we try to distribute God's word. We want to win those souls for Christ. As members of local churches, Gideons must be. We are an arm of the church. Not only do we get to tell you how God is using the seeds that we sow in situations such as this morning, but He also lets us work with believers around the world just like you. That is the mission and an arm of the church. And Gideons must be members of that missionary arm. An example of God's word was not turned was the discarded testament. Ricky and Bobby were friends growing up in Philadelphia. Bobby was a member of a very unconventional family. A Christian lady there in their area would come by and bring them food, clothing, whatever she felt the family need, and would give it to Bobby's mother. Each time she would come by, Bobby would curse at her, talk all manner of evil about her. But the lady didn't let that faze her. Whatever she felt like that family could use, she continued to collect and bring to Bobby's mother. One day, she gave Bobby a testament that had been given to her by Gideon. Bobby took that Bible, threw it on the ground. Ricky happened to be there that day, and was not a bit surprised when Bobby threw the Bible down. And Bobby began to talk about the woman and her stupid Bible. After she left, Ricky told Bobby, said, "If you don't want that Bible, I'll take it." Some years later, Ricky was going through things in his house there. And he ran across that testament. He sat down and he started reading it. The more he read, the more he realized that everything he was reading was absolute truth. That's when he took that little testament, flipped to the back, read the plan of salvation, and accepted Christ as his Savior. And he'll tell you today that the road of life is rough, but when you have Christ on your side, it helps to smooth out some of the bumps. Praise God for salvation such as this. One of our fellow Gideons was at a distribution in Africa, And he looked around and all he could see was poverty. Poverty everywhere he looked. He went back and talked to God that night and he said, God, all I see here is poverty. The needs of these people, they live in dirt huts, dirt floors, they don't have shoes, their clothing is tattered, and they may only have one set of clothing. He thought about all the pleasant things that he would go back to at his home when he returned to the United States. And he said, God, what can we do to help these people? What can I do as an individual to help these people? The next day, he was ready for a distribution at one of the schools there in a rural area of Africa. They had stacks of Bibles across in front of them because they had about 2,000 children there to give Bibles to that day. And he looked out across that sea of children and all he could see is bare feet, tattered clothing, dirty children. And he thought about what he had done the night before, talking to God about the poverty and everything that existed there. And it was getting to him. He took his camera. He was fixing to take a picture. And when he raised that camera, he looked at that lens of that camera, looked through all he could see was Bibles. And he said, God hit him upside the head at that point in time and said, you have brought them their hope. They have hope in the future because of what you're bringing for them. Even though we're distributing more than two Bibles every second, it's not near enough. The population growth in this world is about 125 million babies born each year. You remember I told you we distributed 80 million last year? We're not even keeping up with the growth rate, with new births. Our goal by 2020 is to be distributing 120 million Bibles a year. We'll be getting closer to that birth rate. But we still need help. And you may be wondering what you can do as an individual to help us. The number one need of a Gideon organization is prayer. Pray for open doors in those countries and communities where God's word is needed the most. And if God lays it upon your heart this morning when we have the opportunity, I would pray that you would make a financial donation to the Gideon organization. Every dime that is given goes to buy scriptures. Gideons themselves fund the organization. What we raise for our churches goes to buy Bibles. We don't use any money from our churches to do anything but distribute God's word. Every testimony that you've heard this morning and testimonies that you'll hear from Gideons are a result of someone just like you who have made a donation to the Gideon organization to buy and distribute God's word. The testimonies that we distributed cost about $1.30 a piece. $13 buys 10. $130 buys a box of 100. That may find some searching souls in some remote country that we don't know about. Because we don't know where our next distribution will be. And we don't really know when it'll be. The Bibles we put in the hotels and motels cost us $5 a piece. Have the potential of reaching over 2,300 people in its life of 6 years in a hotel room. And we pray that people go in and use these things in the hotel room. As we go in the hotels and check them and replace them, we can find it, evidence of the Bibles having been used. And we praise God for that. Other ways you can contribute to the organization is in your bulletin this morning. There's a way for you to contribute through the Gideon Expression Cards. You can let someone know you're thinking about them. You can recognize an event that has happened in their life. Or you may want to donate a Bible, Bibles in memorial of someone that has passed on. You can do that. It tells you how right in here this morning. And all you have to do is fill in the information and send it to your local Gideon's. It's already addressed. And they will take care of the rest of it. Put $5, five Bibles in a hotel room is $25. And that's generally what happens. When people give memorials, that's generally what happens. And they will, the Gideon's will take care of it from that point on. Or you can send the card, the memorial card yourself. Inside the memorial card, you will find a little envelope where you can make a donation to the Gideon's. Also, in your card display in the lobby out here, you have a little brochure. It tells you about occasional cards that you can buy from the Gideon's. They cost about the same as a Hallmark card when you look at them individually. The difference is each one of these cards buys two testaments to be placed somewhere in the world. It tells you how in this little brochure, and I would pray that you'll pick up one and figure it out. Because occasional cards are birthday, anniversary, graduation, Christmas, Easter, now we have the get well cards. So I pray that you will use those. As I close this morning, I want to tell you one more situation where that happened here in the United States. In the great state of Arkansas, Arnie Burke is a fellow Gideon. He gave a report at a church just about like this at the First Baptist Church in Gentry, Arkansas, one morning. About 2 weeks later, he got a call from that pastor and said, "Arnie, I have a letter here from a young lady in our church and a check for $130 to the Gideon organization." He read the letter to Arnie. The young lady's name was Bridget Millsap. Her parents were dairy farmers, didn't have any extra money. The $130 had money that Bridget had raised babysitting and doing other odd jobs. This is a tough one to tell. About 4 years later, Arnie got a call from the church. One of the deacons of the church. He said, "Arnie, our church needs your prayers. You see, this was our annual ski trip for our church. There were two vans. The first van's driver fell asleep, ran off the road, flipped the van, killed his 35-year-old wife instantly. Second van had our youth in it. As the van was coming to a stop, one of the young ladies in that van jumped out. She was trained as a lifeguard. She had been accepted to begin her nurse's training in the fall. She never saw the car that hit her, killed her instantly. Arnie, that young lady was Bridget Millsap." Arnie's thoughts come to him. "No, God, it's not Bridget. Can't be." After he regained his composure, he talked to the deacon on further and told the deacon, "If there's anything I can do, let me know." Early the next morning, the deacon called him again and said, "Arnie, the family wants you to speak at Bridget's funeral. Tell about the sacrifice that she made." Because that was all the money she had. She'd been saving it for a pair of shoes that she wanted. Arnie describes the funeral vividly, about the small church being overflowing. The teachers and coaches that were sitting down, here's Paul Bears, and how they were weeping. Not a dry eye in the church, not even Arnie's. Arnie told about the sacrifice that Bridget had made. But he said, you know, that's not the end of the story. Today, Bridget is a missionary because her story is going to be told around the world. That's not the end of the story. When we all get to heaven, we're going to meet Bridget. Not only Bridget, but the thousands that are there because of her sacrifice. Pastor, I thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. Thank you for this church, congregation. I thank you for your attention. May God have his blessings upon this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I would invite you now to take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 446. As we stand and as we sing together, we have a story to tell to the nations. Because we do, in so many different ways, even in what seems so simple as the distribution of Bibles to others. Hymn number 446, we have a story to tell to the nations.